The BBC presents Tony Hancock with Moira Lister, Bill Kerr, and Sidney James in
Hancock's Half Hour.
Pigs may fly, the sun may shine, and Tony Hancock may even go to work. Yes, indeed, this week our hero was forced by circumstances beyond his bank manager's control to seek employment. At the insistent hint of his local labour exchange, he went along to the offices of Bush and Shepherds, a firm of financiers and stockbrokers, to be interviewed by the managing director.
Well, now, Mr. Hancock, let's see how you've got on with our intelligence test. All right. Well, you've managed to get just over half of the little wooden blocks in the right holes.
I'd have got more in if my hammer and chisel hadn't broke.
Quite. Now, let's see how you've managed with the written paper. You have finished it.
Oh, my word, yes. I've got it here somewhere. Now, where did I put it?
Is this it here on the floor?
Oh, yes. That's it, yes.
Why is it folded like this?
It's the only way it'll fly.
Mr. Hancock.
You tear off this end bit here, fold it. You see, this is very interesting. That makes Mr. the tail. And
please, I'm sorry.
Then you bend this bit back here, you see.
Mr. Hancock, I'm not interested.
Then you fold it again just here, making sure, of course, at the same time.
Mr. Hancock, this is an examination paper. You can't come in here making. This bit here.
That's it.
Well, that's strange. I always used to fold this bit here. And you tear off this place here, you see.
Oh, what? No. You'd never get it off the ground that way.
I beg your pardon, you would. You fold the tail round here, you see, and once you've got... Mr. Hancock, I'm not interested in the aerodynamic possibilities of your examination paper. Whether or not we offer you employment depends entirely upon the answers you have given.
All right. I've answered all the questions.
And let us continue. Question one was, what is an isosceles triangle? And you have answered yes.
Well, that's it.
That is not the right answer.
All right, then. No.
That also is not the right answer.
I get your little game. It's a trick question.
No, Mr. Hancock, I'm sorry. No. This just is not good enough, I'm sorry.
All right, then. What is an isosceles triangle? Go on, you tell me.
An isosceles triangle is a triangle whose angles at the base are equal.
Just a tick, I'll write it in. Isosceles triangle, angle at the base is equal. There you are, that's one right. Carry on.
Question two was, write a brief essay on advertising. And you have answered, advertising is something that the BBC don't do, but shortly are going to wish they had of. Question three, geography. Where is Ben Nevis? On tour with soldiers in skirts.
Well, that's not bad. It's three out of three.
Question four. Who was the father of the Black Prince or King Cole? Well, Mr. Hancock, I mean, is there any point in going on?
I don't think so. It's all there. I hadn't even got my reference books when I did it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hancock. Caretaker is all I can offer you.
All right, when do I start?
Wait a minute, let's get the details first, please. I mean, don't rush me. Now, age?
21.
30.
23.
29.
25.
27.
I'll take it.
Wife's name?
Mrs. Hancock. No, I'm sorry, I'm not married.
Well, that's very awkward, isn't it? I mean, you can't have the job unless you're married. It's always been our policy only to employ married men.
Why?
Well, it leaves our directors a clear field with a typist, you see.
I must get the job. I'm desperate. I need the money. I haven't paid any rent for 3 weeks.
How much is your rent?
It depends. It's penny for the wooden ones and tuppence for the deck chairs.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Hancock. No wife, no job.
Wait a minute. Moira, that's it. Hang on. Keep it open. I'll be back.
Now, let's see. Fold it back here. Now, you bend this bit over here. Ah, that's it.
Darling, I love you.
Will you marry me? I can't live without you. I need you. Say you'll be mine. My darling. Only you can make me happy. Say you will. Please. Marry me, my darling. You will, won't you? Please, darling. Please.
Will you open your eyes and stop kissing me? Moira's not here.
Oh, it's you, is it? Thank goodness, that stubble had me worried. Where's Moira? Must find Moira. Where is she?
She's gone down to the shop. Say, Tub, what's all this wedding bell stuff?
That job I went after, they won't take me unless I'm married.
Why do you want to get a job where you have to be married?
Use your loaf. I can have a lay-in and let her get on with it. Moira's a good, strong girl. There's years of hard work left in her yet.
Tub, you can't do a thing.
How much a week would you need to live comfortably on?
Oh, about £8.
£8. Nothing for the first one, £8 for the second, 21 kids, I'll be able to turn it in. I think I'd better get weaving. Moira?
Tub, you can't marry a girl like Moira for reasons like that.
It doesn't have to be Moira. Anybody will do. I'm not fussy. I don't care who she is as long as it's a woman.
Then forget about Moira, huh?
No. Moira's the only girl I'm on speaking terms with, so she'll just have to make do for the time being. I'm marrying her, and that's that.
But you can't do this to me. You just can't throw me out of the flat after all these years. I've been happy here.
Steady, boy. I know. I don't doubt it. You haven't paid any rent since you've been here. I'm very sorry, William. I'm getting married, and I'm afraid there will be no room for a Roger the Lodger. You just have to go out and get a job the same as I've had to do.
Well, that's a cruel thing to say, Tub. You know very well that my war wound stops me from working.
War wound. A car backfired, you strained a muscle running for an air raid shelter.
Well, you couldn't take any chances in those days.
It was 1938.
You're a hard man, Tub, after all I've done to make your little flat comfortable.
Here we go.
Look, who chopped the front door down to make a fire when you were cold? Who ran a cable out into the street lamp when they cut off the gas supply? Who was it used to go and get the food when we were hungry?
And who bored the hole into next door's ladder? All right, don't keep on. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you stay with me.
Gee, thanks, Tub.
When I get married, you can move into the attic.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
It'll be all right. Put a roof on, move the coal out. It'll be just like the living room.
All right, well, I'll take it.
Right. Now, the only problem is to persuade Moira.
Well, you could twist her arm.
That's all right for those pickle factory girls you knock about with. Maura's a different cup of tea. She's sort of sophisticated. I got to woo her. The heavy, passionate stuff. She likes that, because it's right up my street as well.
Really?
What? Otlips Hancock, the toast of the Tooting Broadway School of Dancing? Tango night, of course.
Yeah. You think Moira will fall for this line?
Of course she will. One sniff of me air oil, she'll be up the wall.
Well, you'd better hurry up. She'll be back in a minute.
Right, let's get the room ready. You know, let's get that romantic atmosphere. Shift the cheese off the table and turn the gas bracket down. Get that washing out the fireplace. It should be dry now.
Look, now, don't forget, Tub, you've got to look the part. You know, suave, confident, man of the world.
Yes, of course. The black patch over the eye, the long cigarette holder and the silk scarf.
Perfect. Anything else?
Yes, get me hand-painted silk dressing gown out. The dragon should be dry, you know.
Now, look, think of drinks, Tub. Very important. They're half the battle. Soften them up like they do in the pictures.
Good idea. Bottle of stout in the ice bucket. I'll be halfway home. I can see it now. Moira, they're playing our song. Come on. This thing's bigger than both.
That's her. Well, Tub, this is your big moment.
Right. Everything ready? Put a record on. Let's have some music. You know, lights down at the Palais stuff. Oh. That's it. I'll just go and drape myself seductively over the divan. Let a dressing gown fall open just enough to reveal a tantalizing glimpse of the Argyle sock.
Coming. Go on, get on the divan.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, Moira.
Bill, what's that on the divan?
That is the toast of the Tooting Broadway School of Dancing Tango Night.
Come in.
my dear.
Won't you sit down? No, not on the orange box. Over here, next to me. That's it. Ah, Maura. Maura.
Tony, cover those legs of yours up, those revolting socks.
Keep calm, Anthony, a minor setback. Wait till she catches the air oil.
Oh, dear. Bill, open the window, that terrible smell. Where's it coming from?
Bill, got me at, Andy.
Tony, what is that awful stuff you put on your hair?
Awful stuff? This is me air oil. Me air oil I got off me barber, Andre. Andre Higgins. Ninepence a bottle, that lot. Put it on specially for you. I thought it'd make a change from the dripping.
Tony, look, I came round to see you about Father's birthday. I think you ought to get him a present, you know, because he's done a lot for you.
Ah, Maura. Maura, you're looking so beautiful tonight. Give me your hand. This is the moment I've been waiting for, Maura. Your lips intoxicate me. Those beautiful eyes, challenging, inviting. The delicate texture of your milk-white skin.
What have you got on that silly eye shade for?
What have I got this silly... There's only the stout left now. I can't understand it. This same routine had the Charlady berserk this morning.
As I was saying, Tony, I think it's a good idea to get Father a birthday present. You know, get in his good books. I think he likes you, really. Well, it's just that he
Maura,
can't get used
come closer.
To you.
Well, when you're near to me like this, life seems to take on a different meaning. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you, Maura, if you were mine. Oh, Maura.
Well, he's got a lighter. I wonder what else you could get him now.
Let's yes, dear, all right. Yes. Yes, dear, yes. Marry me. Make yourself the happiest woman in the world. Don't deny yourself this ecstasy. What do you want most out of life?
A pair of slippers.
What?
Buy him a pair of slippers.
Buy him? The stout. Where's the stout? Here we are, here we are. Get her senses reeling. Where's the bottle opener? Oh, of course, on the enemy Boy Scout's knife. Just past the horse's hooves. Here we are. I'll soon get it open. Don't go away.
Stout!
Oh. Who shook it up?
Oh, no. Tony, look, it's all over my new dress.
Well, never mind. Let me sponge it off. It's all right.
Oh, no, stop, stop. You're making it worse. All that red stuff's coming off.
Oh, bother me. Dragons have smudged. Look, I'm sorry, Maura. Sit down again. Stop yapping and listen. The lad's being romantic. Ah, oh, Maura. Maura. You what, little bundle, you? I'm mad about you, do you hear? I'm mad about you. Don't you understand? Oh, I've ever dreamed about. Ah, oh, this is so romantic. Let me offer you a drink. Drink this, me proud beauty. Wipe the top of the bottle when you've finished. I won't see. Now, Maura, my darling, my precious little flower, will you marry me?
Yes.
Yes?
Definitely.
I knew you couldn't resist me.
I think it's a good idea. He needs a pair of slippers.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Thank you. I give up. I can't understand it. Ruby Rose is twice my age, and he's had four of them. It must be me. I think I'm losing my looks.
Tony, what are you mumbling about?
For the past 5 minutes, I've been trying to ask you to marry me.
Why didn't you say so?
Why didn't I say so? It's enough to send you into a monastery, isn't it?
Tony, do you really love me?
Yes, yes, of course I do. Can't live without you. You are my heart's desire. I love you, Nellie Dean. Hurry up and make your mind up, because if it's no, I can find somebody else.
Of course I'll marry you, Tony.
Right. I've got the license. Sign here. We'll nip down to Caxton Hall, get spliced, have an early night, because we've got to be up at 6 a.m, stoking the boilers.
Honeymoon.
Honeymoon?
Yes, I want to go to Switzerland.
See you when you get back.
Tony, you've got to come too.
Oh.
Honeymoon's not the same unless you both go. Oh, it'll be wonderful. First class sleepers to Switzerland?
Yes.
Well, perhaps we can stop off at Paris and you can buy me a nice little trousseau from Dior.
Good.
Yes. And then on to St. Moritz for a month or two?
Oh, stay the season.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Then I think we ought to just, you know, tour around.
Yes.
Yes. You know, the French Riviera, Nice, Cannes, the Italian Alps, and then on to Rome. I hear that the society there is the most fashionable in Europe these days.
Well, Monte Carlo's gone right down since the end of the war, hasn't it? I mean, nobody goes there these days. I mean, simply nobody.
Well, then I think we'll fly back to London round about August, calling in at Paris to see the autumn collection.
Not bad for a £5 a week caretaker. How much is this little lot going to knock me back?
Oh, for the two of us? Well, I should think we ought to be able to do it quite comfortably on about 3,000.
Yes. Look, you don't want to marry me. I'm not good enough for you.
Oh, yes, you are.
I'm not. I'm fat and ugly.
Oh, but I like men who are fat and ugly.
I'm slimming and having beauty treatment.
Oh, but Tony.
No, you're making a big mistake. I can't think why you should possibly want to marry me.
But it was you who wanted to marry me.
There you are. I'm unreliable. You see, that's the type. The type of man I am. A trifler, a philanderer. I'm no good. Rotten to the core. Forget me, Maura. You'll get over it. Just a girlish infatuation.
You said you couldn't live without me.
No, but I've thought it over and it'll be cheaper if I try. I'll show you the door.
Yes, but I won't.
Run along, Maura. There's a good girl. I can't marry you this time. Call again. Sorry you've been troubled. Now, who's next?
Well, how'd you make out, Tub?
Terrible. Maura's no good. Somehow can't see her in a boiler suit with a shovel of coal in her hand.
Well, what are you going to do now?
I don't know, but I've got to act quickly. I've got to find a wife by tomorrow morning or the job will be gone.
Wait a minute, of course. The very thing. Go to a marriage bureau. They'll sort you one out.
Yes, that's not a bad idea.
I was talking to Edwardian Fred at the billiard hall last night, and he was telling me that Sid James has gone into the wedding business.
Is nothing sacred? I can just imagine the sort of wives he supplies.
Look, you haven't got time to be fussy. Sid's your only chance. Now, come on, let's go down there. Well, here we are, the Lonely Hearts Matrimonial Bureau. Proprietor Sidney, I'll dance at your wedding, James. Let's go in.
Come in. Welcome, dear Lonely Hearts. I run this not as a commercial establishment, but for the love of mankind, for I too have passed through the portals of abject misery before I found a soulmate what has made these last 7 years one round of bliss and contentment. Sign here. 5 nickel, please.
Hiya, Sid.
Mr. James.
Oh, it's you two, is it? What do you want?
I want you to find me a wife. Can you do it?
Sit down. Age?
21.
42. Height?
5'6".
6'7". Weight?
13 stone.
18 stone 4.
Wait a minute, these aren't my details.
He's talking about you. This is a dame I'm getting for you.
Oh, no. Listen, I want to see what I'm getting. Haven't you got any photographs?
Yes, I've got some in the files here. Now, what do you want? Tall, short, thin, fat, blonde, dark, red, old, young, middle-aged?
Yes, please.
Okay, take a look at this lot.
Oh, yes. Yes, I like this batch. I'd marry any one of them.
Well, you can't.
Why not?
That's a regiment of Greek soldiers.
And what did you show it to me for?
I just want to make sure you know the difference between the sexes.
I know me differences. I don't go to mixed shorthand classes for nothing. They know what I mean when I give the old marginal release a bash. Well, I got a very sexy way of bashing the keys.
You're cleverer than I thought. Now then.
Morning, Mr. James.
Hello, Granny. Back again? Poor old girl. Been on the books for 50 years. Can't find anybody for her. Comes in every week to see if there's any leftovers.
Any mail for me today, Mr. James?
Oh, I'm sorry, Granny. Right out of stock.
What about them? They're men, ain't they?
Well, a memory's good anyway.
I'll have the fat one. I'm not particular.
Madam, please get your umbrella from round my neck. Madam, control yourself. Control yourself. Your eye button boots are showing. Please, madam.
Granny, let go of him. I told you before. You mustn't be too eager. Frightens them off.
I haven't got time for the waiting game. Come on, fatty, let's live.
Get off! Scout, you go on, get out of it.
I want a man.
Well, go and ask Pickles. He'll find one for you.
All right, don't worry, Granny. I'll keep you in mind. Come back next week. I'll see what I can sort out for you.
All right, and don't forget, I don't care what condition they're in. Just get them in, lock the doors, and I'll do the rest.
Poor old girl. Oh, well, she's bound to get some offers when the old age pensions go up.
Pensions going up? Hey, dog!
Bill, please, have a little decorum. Now, about my wife, Sydney. No, no. About my wife, Sydney. There shouldn't be any difficulty. There must be someone who wouldn't mind marrying me.
Well, I don't know, Hancock.
I'm not bad looking. There should be a market for my type of face.
Oh, there is.
Where?
Billingsgate. Now, look, Hancock, do you want to get married?
I don't want to get married. It's a case of needs must.
Yeah, he's after a job, and they won't give it him unless he's married.
Oh, so that's it, is it? Well, if it's only work you're after, there's no need to get married for it. I can find a job for you.
Doing what?
Managing this place for me. I've got to go away for a few weeks. I need someone to look after the place while I'm gone. The money's good. What do you say?
Well, it's a deal.
Perfect. I've got a job. I've kept my freedom.
A bachelor gay am I.
Well, I think you'll find everything straightforward. You can start first thing in the morning.
Well, we haven't done too bad for the first week. All the men that have been in.
Yeah, that was a good idea of yours to put Maura in the window. Available in 15 different sizes.
Yeah, business is sure booming. 87 marriages we've arranged this week, and there's only one left in the book. Yeah, there's money in this game.
There certainly is. The vicar's put a new roof on the church. Come in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a complaint to make.
Yes?
That woman you introduced me to, she was already married.
How do you know?
She was my wife. Look here, I'm warning you, I'm going to sue, you know.
Well, I hope you have better luck with her. Good day!
Hey, Tubb, do you think that guy will make trouble?
Well, if he does, it's only one complaint amongst 87. Come in!
Yeah, I've got a terrible complaint to make.
What?
That girl you introduced me to.
Well?
I'm married her.
What?
Tub, that's two of them. This is getting serious.
Don't worry, there's nothing they can do. Come in!
Anything for me today?
No, dear, get out of it. We've all seen you. Go on, go home.
No Chelsea pensioners or nothing.
I told you yesterday, the only man we've got in our books is 60, and you're not having him.
Oh.
There's a law in this country against baby snatching. Come back tomorrow.
All right.
Wish she'd turn it in. She hangs outside here all day long. Grabs anything in trousers who walks into this building. The milkman's asking for danger money. It's no good. I'll have to put the van up to her.
You put the vans up. I'm ready.
Oh, get out! Go on. Get back to the jazz club. If she comes in here once more, I'll have to start charging her rent. It's no good. Hello? Customers. Take charge till I get back. Shall be a minute.
Oh, Bill. Oh, there you are. How's business?
Oh, just great. We've only got one woman left in the books, old Granny Higgins.
Only one? This morning you had 120. Where have they all gone?
The Sultan of Morocco came in and got stocked up for the winter. But you know, I'm getting worried, Moira. We've been getting complaints in, and I don't think Sid's going to like it.
Well, I'm not surprised you've had complaints the way Tony handles things. He never lets them see each other till it's too late. He sends a picture of Stuart Granger to all the women, one of Ava Gardner to all the men, puts all the lights out in the church, throws rice in their eyes when they come out, and they're halfway to Brighton before they find out what each other looks like. By the way, where is the boy?
He's outside talking to one of the clients.
Of course, this isn't the first time I've had anything to do with weddings, you know.
Oh, I didn't think it was.
Well, it isn't.
No?
No, it isn't. I'm a bit of a boy for the old...
Are you?
What? I am. Hey. Oh, it's got me into trouble before now.
No, I heard about it.
All right. Nettie Pilari, we've all heard it. Thank you. So I was saying, guess who this woman I nearly married was?
Margaret Rutherford.
No. You're taking the mickey, aren't you?
Well, was I?
Oh, watch it. You won't be in this bit next week. Oh. I'll tell you who it was.
Yeah?
Marilyn Monroe.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Don't overdo it. We haven't got much time this week. As I was saying, Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. I nearly married her. Of course, she was crazy about me, though.
Yeah.
Saw me photo in a horror comic. Well, there we were. She was on her knees proposing to me, and I told her I'd think about it.
Yeah.
Well, you're getting keen, aren't you?
Yeah.
30 seconds later, we were heading it down to the vicar's at 60 miles an hour. She got out of breath, so we stopped and went by car. We arrived at the church. It was a lovely do.
Yeah.
And she was dressed beautifully.
Was she?
You know, it's sort of clinging to her.
What was?
I was.
Oh.
No. This beautiful white gown, it sort of molded to her figure, you know, yeah. Sort of coming in and out and, yeah. And in and out, and mostly it was and sort of sweeping down over her hips and, you know, sort of low cut round. Rather, I'm not boring you, am
no,
I?
No,
I didn't. No. You're more excited than I was. Well, then the service started.
Yeah.
We got the important bit, the bit I was waiting for.
Marilyn.
No, you jumped in there a bit. I was talking about the service.
Were you?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, shut up then.
Right.
Thank you. The vicar looked at her and he said, Do you, Marilyn, take this man, Anthony Aloysius? That's my name.
Is it really?
Don't laugh, it's my name. I can't help it.
Right. Thank you.
Hey, no, quite. Take this man, please. Take this man, Anthony Aloysius, to be your lawful wedded husband. And she said, yes, yes. Of course, she was getting impatient, too.
Yeah.
And then she looked at me and she said, do you, Anthony Aloysius, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? Well, I turned and looked at her, a vision of loveliness. And I thought, this will shortly be mine.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, what a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
You'd have loved it. She smiled at me sweetly, and her eyes sort of full of meaning, encouraging me.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little shiver went up his spine.
Yeah.
I turned back to the vicar, and I was just going to say I do.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened?
What?
Joe DiMaggio clattered me over the head with a baseball bat.
Hey, Tub, I think you'd better come quickly. Sid's back, and boy, is he mad.
Where is he? Where is he? I'll kill him, so help me. Where is he?
What's all the fuss about?
Hancock, where's his throat?
What's the matter?
What's the matter? You ruined me, that's what.
Nonsense. Your business has never been so good. I've married off 87 people this week.
Yes, and they're all outside screaming blue murder. Listen to them. Threatening to sue me.
Why?
Because they're not legally married, that's why.
Rubbish. I saw the vicar marry him myself, and I paid him.
This vicar, was he a little bloke? Scar down one cheek, close-cropped hair, 4 days' growth of beard on his chin?
That's right.
Oh, I knew it.
What?
Parson Fred's out again. You're not going to get away with us, Hancock. All those people outside screaming for their money back. And you're going to give it to them out of your own pocket, see?
But I haven't got any money.
Then you better hurry up and get some, haven't you? Go on, get cracking.
So there it is, Mr. Bush. I've got to pay all that money back. So, if that caretaker's job's still open, I'd be very grateful if you...
Well, I'd like to help you, Mr. Hancock, but I don't see how I can. Rules are rules. I'm not allowed to employ anybody who's not married.
Yes, I know that, but that's why I got married this morning.
You did?
Yes.
Well, congratulations, of course. That's all. There's everything you want to start. You can have the job with pleasure at that rate. Start as soon as you like.
Thank you, sir. I'll just tell the wife. Lenny!
Yeah?
Get your overalls on, dear. Bring the shovels out. Pretty business, girl. Well done.
That was Hancock's Half Hour, featuring the lad himself with Moira Lister, Bill Kerr, Sidney James, and the relief ship from the Goon Show, Peter Sellers. Incidental music was composed by Wally Stott and recorded by the BBC Augmented Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinowitz. The script was written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, and the program, which was recorded, was produced by Dennis Mayne Wilson.